We're in 1 Samuel this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Well, it was about 20 years ago now. My brother was sitting in traffic in his newly issued company car when he heard a voice, "John." He looked around, he was alone in his car. "John Everhart." His first instinct was to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." But instead he just said, "Yes? This is OnStar. We just wanted to let you know that we're on the job, and if you ever need us, we're right here for you." His second thought was, "Do you issue clean underwear for those people that you have scared spitless?" But what he said was, "Okay, thank you." This morning's faith fact is, God speaks to me. God speaks to me. Unfortunately, the Lord doesn't use OnStar, and it's rarely that clear that we get what he's trying to say. So this morning we want to talk about, first of all, God speaks to us, and then secondly, how do I hear him? How do I receive what he's trying to say? I want to get better at hearing from the Lord. I want to be obedient, and in order to do that, I need to hear what he has to say. So we're going to talk about some guidelines that can increase our ability to hear from the Lord. Open yourself up to God's voice while guarding your heart and mind from the lies of the enemy. As soon as you open yourself up to spiritual voices, the enemy's going to try to mimic God and run interference. So it's important to know, how do I hear, and how do I discern it really is from God? 1 Samuel chapter 3, the first 10 verses. "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, 'Samuel.' And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, 'Samuel.' And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Father, it's rare that you're that clear with us when you talk to us. Help us to gain a little wisdom today. And we pray that some of these things would be sticky notes, that we'd be reminded of them when we're trying to figure out what you've said to us. Help us, Lord, to be more discerning and more obedient. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our text takes place during the time of the Judges. The Judges was a unique time in Israel's history. They didn't have a king. They had a judge. A judge was a pseudo-king. They were in charge, but they didn't have an administration. They didn't collect taxes. It was just a person that God had chosen to lead Israel during that time. During a time of war, they would blow the trumpet. Everybody would get together. They'd go fight the enemy and so on. But there wasn't a lot of structure to it. And a judge could come from any one of the 12 tribes. It was whoever God was anointing at any given time. Now, when this takes place, Samuel is a little boy serving in the tabernacle. And we're not quite sure whether Samson was the judge at the time. You remember Samson's story? Great strength whenever the Spirit of the Lord came on him and he could do mighty deeds. Or maybe the judge was this Eli that we're reading about in our text. He was the high priest during that time, and he may have been the judge, the leader over all of Israel while Samuel is growing up. One thing we know for sure, Israel was suffering from a severe lack of sound management. Samson was very strong and he could kill a lot of enemy soldiers, but he wasn't a very good leader. His lust for Philistine women drove his activities, and he was always more on their side than on Israel's side. In fact, he ended up causing more harm to his own people than good. God had gifted him, he was very strong, but his gifts were not put to the best of use. And if Eli is the manager of it all, he couldn't even manage his own household very well. His two sons went off the rails and were doing all kind of wicked things. Therefore, God did what God often does when a nation is in trouble. He raised up a better leader. This is often God's answer throughout the Old Testament when Israel was struggling. He appeared to Samson's mother and said, "You're going to have a son, and he's going to become a deliverer." He appeared later on to Elizabeth in the New Testament and said, "You're going to have a son, and he's going to be a forerunner of the Messiah." He raised up Mary and said to Mary, "You're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. How many really appreciate that sometimes God's promises takes about 30 years to be fulfilled? I better get things in line here, because 30 years from now, things are going to be great. But know this, God is always at work. During the dark times, we never know who God is raising up and what he's going to do next. We might be thinking, oh, things have gone from bad to worse, and we've been praying and we've been trusting, and nothing's come together. God said if we would humble ourselves and pray, he would heal our land. It's not getting healed. Sometimes God heals just like that. Oh, we love those times. As Pentecostals, that's what we're hoping for. Give us a great president and a good Congress, and may there be revival in the land and everything turn out right. But a lot of times God answers a little bit at a time and begins to turn things over. It's for us to maintain our faith. Don't grow weary. You will reap a harvest in due season if you faint not. Don't get tired, church. Press in. God is at work. You can be sure of that. Whether we see it or not, whether we feel it or not, God is answering our prayers. And it could be that right now, back in our children's church, there's a little kid learning how to pray and is going to catch fire one of these days and is going to lead our nation back to God. Or they could be in our youth group or could be off to college somewhere right now, or maybe even in the womb just about ready to be hatched. But God is up to something, and he's raising people up for just such a time as he has determined. But think about little Samuel. Hannah didn't have any kids, and she grieved that so much. And then finally, one day she got a word from the Lord through Eli, "May God grant your request." She was so burdened and stressed, and then all of a sudden she was light as a feather because she felt she heard from God, and she's going to have a little boy. And she said, "God, if you give me a little boy, I'll give him right back to you." So at the tender age of 4 or 6 years old, somewhere after he was weaned, she dropped him off at the tabernacle. Isn't that wild? Dropping a little kid off at the tabernacle? We might even look at that and say, "Man, that's child abuse. I want my mama. I want my mommy." You know, shut up and sweep the floor. He was there to serve the priests, and he took it all in stride. He was called in fact, before he was conceived, he was called. to become a leader of Israel. And as he served Eli there for some time, it was a while before he had his first encounter with the Lord. We're figuring he's maybe 10, 11 years old by now. He's been there for years just as a servant, doing the little things around the tabernacle and so on. And God comes to him one night and begins to call his name. It was so audible, it was so clear, that he jumps out of bed and he runs over to his supervisor, Eli, and says, "What did you want, sir? You called me." And Eli said, "No, son, I didn't call you. You must be hearing things. Go ahead and lay down and go back to sleep." So Samuel was obedient. He went back to bed again. A second time, he heard his name called, "Samuel." He jumps out of bed and he runs over to see, no, I am not calling you. Go back to bed. The third time, the Lord called. Wouldn't you know that the voice had to be pretty clear and distinct if the third time you're going to run over and wake up Eli? And I don't know if Eli's a little bit like me, but us old men, we don't like to be woken up. And what are you talking about? But finally it dawned on Eli that must be the Lord who's calling this young man. Now, you can see why Eli was having a little trouble with this. Eli's the high priest. He's the guy that goes into the Holy of Holies once a year. He's the only guy that and he can only go once a year. He's the guy that's prophesying to people like Hannah. May the Lord bless you and grant your request. And she goes home happy. He's the dude. He is the high priest. And God's speaking to a 10, 11-year-old boy. And the reason God allows this confusion to go on is because God's going to speak to Samuel about Eli. He's going to speak to a boy about the high priest. And the high priest is going to get him in the morning and say, "Tell me what God said. And don't hold anything back." And here's this 10, 11-year-old little boy. "Well, sir, the Lord told me to tell you." That's the high priest. When we say, "God speaks to me," it's regardless of age. It's regardless of station in life. God wants to speak to you. In fact, God is speaking to you. I got a few gray heads here. How many remember Smokey Got Your Ears On? Back in the CB days, CB channel. Smokey Got Your Ears On? I think the Lord would ask, "Hey, got your ears on?" Then the Bible say, "Let he who has ears, let him hear." A lot of people in the body of Christ don't have their spiritual ears on. They're simply going according to what they can see, what they can sense, what they can touch in the natural realm. But there's a whole other realm that God wants to invite us into and tell us things that only God knows that will help us to minister to others and get over obstacles that are in our own life. Well, Eli the high priest says to the little boy, the next time you hear that voice, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm listening, God. I want to hear what you have to say to me." We're told in that very first verse that in those days the word of the Lord was rare, not many visions. The word of the Lord was rare. Why was that? Was God just kind of having writer's block? He had the blank sheet in front of him and he didn't really know what to say? Nah. He had a lot to say to his people. They weren't listening. They didn't have their ears on. And nothing quiets the voice of God like disobedience. They were messing with idolatry. They were doing things that was antithetical to the word of God. And he said, "Don't have any images. Don't have any idols." So what did they do? They went out and got themselves some idols. And God's not going to keep speaking to people who are disobedient. He's not going to waste his voice on those who will not follow what he says. Why do I waste my time talking to you? Have you ever said that? Anybody ever said that to you? You don't listen to what I'm saying. You know, every once in a while, my wife will walk in the room while I'm watching something very important on the television. It could be this Pittsburgh Steelers. It could be the weather. And she's talking, and I'm trying to listen to both at the same time. And I'll say to myself, multitask. And you know, by the time I'm done, I don't know what the weatherman said, and I don't know what my wife said. I try to pretend like I know what my wife said, because that would be impolite to not listen to your wife, right? But she catches me every time. What did I just say? Then I can usually repeat the last couple of words. Yeah, what does that mean? Well, you know, I try to fake it, but I'm not good at that. And we're not good at that with God either. If you're going to listen to God, you got to listen for God. As the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And it refers to his voice several times in Scripture as soft and low. Soft and low. So you got to listen in and not be distracted. I don't know if you have any little kids in your house, or in our case, it's a little dog. It's funny how they get excited whenever you're talking to somebody else. All of a sudden, you're on the phone with somebody, your kid wants your attention, it's an emergency, they need it right now. I'm dying of thirst, I need water now. Whatever the case may be. And whenever you're trying to listen to God, it's amazing how the thoughts and everything else bombard your brain. Oh, I need to do this tomorrow, and the appointment's on Thursday, and just trying to pull it. You need to get still and know that he is God. Because the way God talks is often through impressions and nudges. And they can be overshouted. They can be confusing when all the noise is still going on around you and in your head. God loves nudges and clues. Now, this is something I hope you will remember long after I'm dead. I remember Pastor Joel used to always say, God speaks to us. Where are we at? Oh, we'll get there anyway. God speaks to us in scavenger hunts and jigsaw puzzles. He loves to give us a little piece at a time. God speaks by inspiring or nudging us. Sad thing about the body of Christ, most of the people pray without any expectation that they're ever going to hear back from God. They don't expect God to answer their prayers. And when he does, they're utterly surprised. Well, look at that. I prayed and God did, and wow. Isn't that amazing? God speaks to me. God's trying to talk to you. Now, there's two errors in this thing. The one is that some people expect God to talk to them constantly. Lord, what should I have for breakfast this morning? Eggs, or should I go for the cereal? And that's okay to ask or whatever, but don't be surprised if God's got bigger fish to fry than, you know, talking about all those things. And some people are almost paralyzed. They can't make a decision unless they feel like, you know, God is turning them one way or the other. There's a lot of times and places where God leaves a lot of decisions up to us. Go ahead and do what is wise and what is best. But there are other times when God is trying to speak to us. So on the one hand, you want a word for everything. And on the other hand, you never expect to hear from God. You're just living your life and asking him to come along and help wherever, whenever trouble pops up. And we're going to be able to get through this thing together. But to have an open ear to the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God, what do you want to accomplish today? I don't want this day to just fade into the fabric of all the days just flying on by. Is there something special about today? Is there somebody I could call, or a letter I could write, or a card I could send, or send a text to somebody, or just pass them in the hallway? Maybe I should be more aware. You might know this, and you might not. You're not the only messed up person in the world. The world is full of messed up people, hurting people, people who are going through some excruciating things. And a little bit of understanding and a little bit of care can go a long way. God wants to speak to you not only so that you can do well, but so that you can be a source to everybody else who's hurting. And you can bring a little bit of hope and a little bit of encouragement and a little bit of strength to them along the way. So point number one, God speaks to me. As soon as you open up your spirit to hear spiritual things, the enemy tries to run interference. So I want to hear from God, but now how does God speak to me? That's what I need to discern. And I do think that the Lord uses different devices with different personalities. And some people are more open than others naturally. But we have to work at discerning what God's voice is. As I said before, God loves jigsaw puzzles, and he loves scavenger hunts. In a scavenger hunt, you'll get a clue, and you'll get to your first stop, and you'll find what you were looking for, and say, okay, we're good so far, but we're not where we need to be. We're just to the first stage. And you would think that if you're heading directly north and you got to the first clue, you're going to keep heading north. But a lot of times in a scavenger hunt, now you got to turn east. And there's your next clue over here. So you travel along and you find the next thing that you need to find. And so on. So, and to finally end up over there where you were headed all along, you just didn't know it. And then you've solved your scavenger hunt. You've collected all of your different prizes along the way. And you completed the mission. Jigsaw puzzles. Our family loves puzzles. We put one out usually at Christmas time, and different family members coming in can work on it together with you. And in some puzzles, a lot of puzzles that I work on, I'll find a piece that I'm sure fits over here. It looks like it's the same colors, but you try to fit it in, and it doesn't fit quite right. So you set it aside for a little while. About a half hour later, you say, that looks like, and it's that same doggone piece trying to fit in there, and it's not fitting in there. So you set it, and about a half hour later, you know, it's still not quite fitting in. And you're thinking after a while, you know what, I don't think this piece belongs to this puzzle. I think at the factory, they got it mixed up. And finally, when you're done with every other, you got 999 pieces fit in, and you got this, and that's where that. I would have never, I was holding it upside down. There. Well, of course it fits there. That is so lifelike. Something will happen in your life and you say, this, nice. Why in the world did the Lord allow this to happen? I'm such a good guy. I did everything right. And then this, it just isn't fitting in right. God knows what he's doing. God's got the big picture. I don't know if you ever tried to put a puzzle together without the picture. That's kind of what we're doing. And we're trusting the puzzle master to hand us the pieces as we need them. And he'll put them all into place where they need to go. It takes faith and trust to enjoy the ride. If you don't trust God, life is going to be miserable for you. And there are a lot of born-again people who don't trust God. They're convinced that it's not going to work out right. They'll even say things like this. Oh, this isn't going to work. I can't put up with this anymore. This is terrible. This is miserable. Life's hard and then you die. Oh, what a battle. The Bible says we go from glory unto glory. Now, we understand that there's valleys in between those glories. They're called battles. But a lot of Christians, all they can think of is battle unto battle unto battle. They never relax and just enjoy the ride. You ever have a backseat driver with you? Watch out for the pothole. Shouldn't you turn left back there? Why are you taking the long way around? Don't you love a backseat driver? I remember one time we were coming home from church on a Wednesday night. With a little yellow Volkswagen Bug. My sister was in the passenger seat. I was in the driver's seat. Old sister Horvath, the farmer, and my mom were in the back seat. And we come around a turn, and there's a car in the other lane, and there's a car in our lane passing that car. And so I went off the side of the, I downshifted into third, boom, 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 along the side of the thing, and back up on it after they passed. And my mom is yelling, "What's the matter with you?" I'm sorry, but I let her have it. "That's the last time I ever saved your life," you know. And then you get the one who, boom, "Did you have to hit that pothole?" "Well, it was the pothole or the Mack truck. Which did you want?" You know, "Yeah, I love potholes. That's why I took you through the pothole." God does not appreciate our backseat driving. "Lord, I'd rather you had taken a different route that was smoother. And Lord, I'd rather you, don't you care that we perish?" Yeah, he cares. I like what Tony Evans said. He said, we pray the stupidest prayers. "Lord, please be with me today." Well, what was God's promise? "I'll be with you except for Tuesdays and Thursdays on every odd month and the third week." And he said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." So that's actually a wasted prayer. What we should say is, "Thank you, Lord, that you're with me today, because it's going to be a doozy. I'm going to need every new mercy you got for me. Help me to be sensitive to you." We don't have to remind God to watch over us. We have to remind ourselves to keep an eye on the Lord. "Keep my eyes above the waves. Lord, I'm going to trust you." But if you trust the driver, if you trust the driver. We used to drive down to Missouri when I went to college, an 800 and some odd mile trip. I always liked to do the driving because I didn't trust anybody else to drive. Yeah. We had one friend. Boy, as soon as the door closed, he fell asleep. I don't want him behind the wheel. You know, I couldn't sleep when others were driving, so I might as well drive, you know. But if you trust the driver. I never had that trouble when my dad was driving. You know, "Hey, Dad's driving. We're okay." You trust. God's got this. God's driving this. Many believers refuse to grow out of their fleshly desire to question God's every move. "Lord, are you sure?" I don't think so. This stinks, man. This is hard. No, God knows what he's doing. Heard Barry McGuire being interviewed by James Dobson one time on his program. And he talked about this concept of simple faith. He said, "I live by simple faith. I don't get all bent out of shape over everything." He said, "Well, they gave me a diagnosis that I had this deadly cancer. I went home, I reminded God of his promises, and I slept like a baby. And I figured, if I die, I go to heaven. If I get healed, I got a testimony." God healed him, and he had a testimony. He said, then he's in business with another fella, and they sell car wax for your car or whatever. He said, here his business partner was trying to cheat him out of his part of the business. He would have lost his house, the business, and everything else. He heard what was going on. He went home, reminded God of his promises, called him Jehovah Jireh, slept like a baby that night, went to the lawyer's office the next day. The whole thing turned on a dime. And it was found out that his partner was being deceptive. He was out the door, and McGuire owned the company. And he didn't fight. He didn't do a thing. He just said, "My father has my back. I know that. And he's your father, too. And he's a good father. It's always worked out. That's not by chance." You know, sometimes God will speak to us, and it'll just, wow. And then idiots that we are, we walk away and we say, "Wow, that was lucky." Or, I'm good." No, you're not. You got a good father. And he spoke and he said he's going to take care of you, and then he did. And what you need to do is carry something away with that from that. Wow, God, I'm going to remember this. Next time I'm in trouble, I'm going to remember what you've done for me. And I'm going to be a better passenger than I was before. I'm not going to be screaming and freaking out. In fact, I want to get to the point where I'm worshiping you in the middle of the storm, where I'm trusting you no matter what. You know, we sang that song, Take Me Where My Faith Is Without Borders, and, you know, I would walk upon the water. My natural bend is, give me an umbrella on the beach, a nice cool breeze, and something to drink. Let somebody else deal with the waves and the deep part, you know. I just want to relax. But God wants to take us to deeper places. And that can be harrowing at times. But if we trust him, it's going to be all right. He's going to teach us how to swim, how to surf, and do all those kind of neat things. But the major way God speaks is through his word. When you get a nudge, how do you know if it's from God or not? It passes the test of Scripture. In fact, the Bible says, out of a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. And let a matter be established by two or three witnesses. And I always take that when I feel like I'm getting an impression from God. Okay, the impression, that's a witness. Then I'm reading the word in my regular devotions, and sure enough, the Lord will speak the same thing I'm getting nudged about right through the word. And, oh, well, there's another witness. Then I turn the radio on, and Alistair Begg is preaching, and he's talking about the very same thing I read about in the word and I got nudged for. Then you go to church on Sunday morning, and Pastor Joel's saying the same thing that Alistair Begg said, that, you know, and you're wondering, do they share notes or what's going on here? Out of the mouth of two or three, let it matter. You're talking to your best friend and you're running it past them, and sure enough, they're saying the very same thing back to you. Wow, this must be God, but it's always founded on his word. God will never go against what he's speaking in his word. Only when the puzzle's complete can we say with confidence that we heard from God. I believe God is calling me to do such and such. And so I stay at it, and, you know, you're putting the pieces in one at a time. Boom, finally, oh, that's what that picture was. I can see it clearly now. I can't really see what it's all about until all of the pieces come together. And then, oh, isn't God good? The dark spots where, you know, again, if you're a puzzler, some of the hard parts of the puzzle, sky. You know, you put the sky together. Well, they all just look alike, and they're kind of hard to figure out which one fits exactly where it's supposed to be. But when you get it right, it's suitable for framing. You want to put that one up on the wall and say, that's a really nice picture. You wouldn't put one up on the wall with three or four pieces missing, would you? Or you got it all wrong, and they're kind of hammered in there with a mallet. Yeah, we did this puzzle, you know. No, it's gotta be complete. And we're not going to be complete till we get to the other side. And then all of a sudden, the stuff that was so messed up, the stuff we cried about, that we screamed about, they're going to be things we rejoice over. And, you know, we get a little taste of that now. You ever have a terrible trip? The motel was roached, the plane was late, you know, all this and that, and you were so miserable. And you find yourself 10 years later, oh, yeah, you're laughing your head off over it. Isn't that crazy? Oh, yeah, man, that was terrible, wasn't it? Ah, ha, 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 ha. We're going to have a good laugh on the other side. Some of you are going to spend a couple hundred years laughing. You've had a hard time of it on this side. But when you see what God's doing with it on the other side, just like last week's message about Naomi. I mean, how much can one woman suffer? She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. What could God do with a mess like that? He could bring Messiah. He could bring the Savior of the world. So in the middle of the night when your baby has colic, or when the school calls and says, hey, he's in detention again, maybe God's raising up a special deliverer You just have to endure those early years to see what God's going to do with the rest of the story. Remember Paul Harvey? With the rest of the story. And then everything fits together as it should. I note that God uses different degrees of nudges. Some are very gentle. Some are whispers that you wonder whether you heard anything or not. And then others are pretty demonstrative. God has an outside voice, and he'll use it if he has to. When he was speaking to Moses at the burning bush, that was pretty loud and clear. With increased intensity of the nudge comes increased responsibility. God's speaking loud and clear. He's confirmed it 3 or 4 times. You best get busy. God's got something for you to do. You better open your mouth and open it now. I get the impression that either Moses was going to go back to Egypt to deliver the people, or Moses wasn't going anywhere ever again. God made up his mind, son, this is one we're not missing. You the man, and you're going to do it. Now, nudges and clues can be misinterpreted. So you got to be very careful about who you're listening to, who's pouring into your life, how you're discerning things. There are times in my life I heard clearly from God, but I misunderstood what he was saying. Now, the nice thing is he'll get you to the place where you understand what he is saying to you. It will fit eventually. God always confirms his word. God always confirms. So if you're not sure, if you're iffy on it, it's okay to ask God for confirmation. That's not disobedience. Gideon asked for the fleece. I'll set it out. If the ground is dry and the fleece is wet, I'll know you're speaking to me. Lord, please don't be mad at me, but let's do the opposite today. God said to Hezekiah, okay, I'll give you a sign that I'm going to heal you. Do you want the shadow from the sundial to go forward 10 steps or back 10 steps? Well, it always goes forward. Said so. Back 10, so the shadow went back 10 steps, and he knew that God was going to heal him. God confirms his word. Waiting for confirmation isn't disobedience. It isn't lack of faith. It's wisdom. Because sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes that's not the right thing. So are you sure? What is it you said? Any ladies here ever get tired of your husband saying things like, huh? What'd you say? The Lord doesn't mind that. Your wife may, but the Lord doesn't. Lord, I just want to get it right. And so he will confirm and affirm. And remember, God will never violate his written word with a spoken one. I've heard outrageous things in my time as a pastor. I've heard people say stupid stuff like, you know, they're having an affair outside the marriage. And, well, I know God provided this because. No, no. God's not going to do that. You're listening to the wrong voice there. And that's not God. Well, I really needed it. They had more than they needed, so I just figured God wanted me to have it, so I took it. Stealing is not part of God's economy. He doesn't work like that. Pastor Leek used to say, God, the devil often sends his best counterfeit right before God sends the real. So you're looking for God to answer, you're looking for God to answer, you're looking for God to answer. And then the devil brings back his best offer. Ooh. We could just scratch that itch right now, and it'll be done. And boy, we can talk ourselves into stuff. We can justify the most wicked of actions. But if you know the word of God, you know that's not God. Wait. Wait just a little bit longer. And then when you do it in God's timing and God's way, that's when the puzzle's completed and it all looks so beautiful. for today. Take this home with you. God speaks to me. Sometimes through other people. Sometimes while I'm reading the Bible. Sometimes just in my heart. Sometimes in a dream. But God speaks to me. Expect it. Cry out to God to be a better listener, spiritually speaking. Would you stand with me this morning? I need you more.
I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side. 'Cause I never want to go back to my old life. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right here in your presence is where I belong. Now my broken heart, and I'll never be alone. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Amen. Now, I don't know what you might be going through right now, what you might be facing. I don't know what this last week may have been like for you. Might really have been messed up. God knows what he's doing. And this week may not seem to fit in the puzzle of your life or even into the promises of God. He's got this, and it's going to be all right. You can trust the driver. Father, we look to you this morning and just cry out to you for faith, for confidence in God, for calm, for joy, for praise. As we take the twists and the turns of this life. Lord, with you, it's not just about the journey or the destination, it's about both. And we want to journey better than we have before. If we're whiny crybabies, help us to get to the place where we're joyful and we're excited about the things that used to freak us out, knowing that our God is able and our God will see us through. Help us to experience that simple faith. God is with me, period. He's got it all under control. So, Lord, we freshly hand over to you our lives. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to navigate better than ever before, trusting every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.